Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We are back. We're having some fun. You know, we're just pursuing issues and penetrating them and discussing them in a way that's interesting and provocative. I don't really enjoy carrying the water because I like to always argue and question and be contrarian. It's kind of what I learned in college, splitting hairs. But I will carry the water occasionally. In fact, I could probably use some. But the top story today, I guess, nationally, was the testimony of Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General for the Senate Intelligence Committee. By the way, Donald Trump was coming to Wisconsin today for a fundraiser for Scott Walker. I've been looking for a video. I've yet to see it. I don't see the video yet. We'll look for it. But here's an exchange. Trevor Heinrich, a senator from New Mexico, again, grilling Jeff Sessions on why he wouldn't answer questions about what he said in the private company of the president.
Now you're not answering questions. You're impeding this investigation. So my understanding of the legal standard is that you either answer the question, that's the best outcome. You say, this is classified, can't answer it here. I'll answer it in closed session. That's bucket number two. Bucket number three is to say, I'm invoking executive privilege. There is no appropriateness bucket. It is not a legal standard. Can you tell me what are these longstanding DOJ rules that protect conversations made in the executive without invoking executive privilege?
Senator, I'm protecting the president's constitutional right by not giving it away before he has a chance to
view
it. And secondly, I am telling the truth in answering your question in saying it's a longstanding policy of the Department of Justice.
Are those policies written?
And to make sure the president has full opportunity to decide these issues.
Can you share those policies with us? Are they written down at the Department of Justice?
I believe they are.
This is the appropriateness legal standard for not answering congressional inquiries.
It's the my judgment. That it would be inappropriate for me to answer and reveal private conversations with the president when he has not had a full opportunity to review the questions and to make a decision on whether or not to approve such an answer.
So the same thing. You know, I'm not going to answer your questions. I'm not going to tell you what the president and I discussed. Why is that? Because it's a long-standing, where's it written? You know what? He could have said, he'd been a little more canty, which I have to say, at least the Attorney General didn't do what I probably would have done and had been questioned like that, because it's easy to lose your cool. I'm not going to tell you. What do you think I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you? Are you nuts? The president told me four dirty jokes, and he told me, he's going to fire Mueller. You think I'm going to tell you? I'm not going to tell you. You know, I was on a radio show once, and this famous announcer locally, I won't say who, says, I don't like you, Mitch. You know, just out of the blue. And I was just shocked. Because I was doing some Rickles-type, comedy-type stuff and some shtick. And I just was stunned, you know, on the air. I later talked to a third party. I couldn't believe that. Do you think he really cares about you? I said, no. Remember when Charles Grodin, the actor who used to go on The Tonight Show back in the day, was in Midnight Run. He was the guy that had the money, and Robert De Niro was trying to get him across the country. You're too young for it, but look it up. Midnight Run. Great movie. And he goes, yeah, De Niro, I got two words. Shut the up. whatever. But he would go on Carson, and Carson would say, how's it going? How's the career? And so Grodin had this act where he just would play this sarcastic guy. He goes, you don't really care about me, do you, Johnny? You don't really care about my career. And Carson would go, well, no. No. I'm trying to answer questions off this sheet of paper. No. Of course, we find out later, they liked that act of his, and they signed him. The Tonight Show paid him, put him in a contract to be a guest only in Tonight Show and be that person. He was on the show. Yeah. So it became shtick, and then boom. As opposed to, well, the career's going great. I'm doing, you know.
This and that.
Well, you have something to plug instead of something to say. But I'm just, I'm going to shift gears a little bit because I had some Facebook people, I saw some posts, over the end of civility. You often hear people on the right, the left, and people are against civility. You hear it on the left about the right. But civility, I mean, what happened to it? I mean, do we care about it? Have we just lost it? I mean, we have none of it on Facebook, none of it on social media. I mean, it's just savagery.
It's gone.
It's just a sewer, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's got his political beliefs, but he said, you know, I don't post anything political on Facebook because you're going to get trolled. I mean, I got into a fight once with somebody over some point about, I think I did something about rallying in Iowa against Scott Walker, and I thought, well, that's going to help Scott Walker because the Republicans will, you know. And I got, and it offended, and I got like 70 posts. You idiot.
About how wrong.
I just got trolled by it. Just trolled, totally trolled. And so then I learned not to respond to the comments on the 2 minutes with Mitch thing on the Mazin.com, the State Journal, which they've now taken off, I guess, those comments. They were just savage, and they were just vicious. Vicious. Well, Scott Ross was on Tucker Carlson, our first guest, and he, of course, was against the Republican law on the free speech thing, which I tend to support, but I don't want those things to be in there about you can't tell somebody not to go somewhere, whatever. Which, again, I got to read the text. But I mean, Scott Ross then posted a post that he got after being on the show. You mother. I mean, it was just vicious to the point of almost encouraging violence, which I understand politics can do. And people consider themselves, they don't like anger. They don't like when you get pissed. But when they get angry, it's okay because it's righteous anger. When somebody on the right gets angry at Obama or the Clintons, that's righteous anger. But if I get angry at the guy that in the front of me in the car who's not moving on the intersection, that's not good. That's uncomfortable. That's discomforting. It makes me uncomfortable. So the anger, you know, other people can be angry and it's okay because it's righteous anger. You can't be angry because it's uncomfortable. Which it may be petty. It may be shallow. I've got problems with people who say mean things about people I look up to. I've been emotionally traumatized over people. They trash Frank Sinatra. I'll just be, it's like they're trashing my kids. So I have this, it takes me a while to get over it. And people say, well, Mitch, you're a singer, different opinions.
Yep.
And people have different viewpoints about art and music and so forth. But I guess the key is not to take it personally. But I would say, don't most of us take things personally? I mean, when I was on the radio, somebody could listen for 10 years, and if I had a guest who said something offensive to them, they would commonly say, I'm never going to listen to you again. I'm never listening to that show again. So one time I emailed the guy, I go, well, if you're going to, you know, drop me like a prom dress after 10 years of doing thousands of shows and 5 seconds of an utterance by a guest who, by the way, I'm suspending after this show because of the offensive nature. But if you're going to drop me because I don't want you in my audience, I don't want you in my audience. And the guy called. He kept calling. Can I talk to Mitch? Can I talk to Mitch? You know, he kept calling the studio. Sometimes they trash you on the Daily Page, the Isthmus. And then I'll read it, and I'll say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Oh, Mitch, you weren't supposed to see that. Somebody on the phone? Oh, no. We lost the, we're back. You know, Facebook, what's the deal with that? Anyway, but I had a chance to do some substitute teaching in the last few weeks, and I noticed the behavior of the kids, and I realize it's late in the year, but it's just, I mean, there's sort of a general lack of adherence to authority. And of course, I'm not really an imposing figure as a sub, but I mean, I do remember being a kid, and there was always a pretense of respect for the teacher.
Yeah.
And the ones who didn't show any were usually taken out of the class, or right. they were caught, or they get paddled, or, you know, I mean, this was, well, obviously now 40 years ago, 45 years ago. But there's just nothing. There's no, I mean, there is some. Like, one or two kids will come up and say, can I help you? Or, you know, there's like one or two or three sweet kids. But the rest is like, it can be really challenging, you know. And there's always three or four that just don't give up flying, you know what. They just do whatever they want. And you say, hey, please, you know, I mean, just look at you. Try to do whatever it is you're telling them to do. They just give this look like, what? I mean, have your notebook? I don't got no notebook. I see. You know, say, did you do your assignment? I didn't do no assignment. Okay, I see. Okay, well, apparently there was a misunderstanding. Apparently there was a failure to communicate.
My bad.
My bad. Why didn't you do your assignment, Johnny? Because I didn't want to. I see.
Oh, okay.
Well, do you often reject the instructions of the teacher? What do you mean? I go, well, I mean, where's your worksheet? I don't have any worksheet. Why aren't you working on it? Now, I will say that I did notice there are times when I had a couple of teachers from another class that would come in and help and say, so-and-so, okay, you've got to either, because they realized it was a tough job, and they'd say, Johnny, you have to do your work or go to the office. Those are your options. And so, you know, you come in for the kill on that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's kind of a, you know, you're closing the deal. But I did notice there was a disturbing amount of, I guess, rebellion against authority, which there's always been, right? Ever since Catcher in the Rye and Rebel Without a Cause. But, and we were all trying to be cool in our day and be rebellious, but there was always a line, you know, where we crossed the line and we'd be in trouble with our parents or, you know, the case. And but I don't see that line being, I mean, in some cases I saw firsthand there is no line. When kids, you know, shooting baskets, you're not supposed to be in here. They just kept shooting baskets. Yeah. Can't be in here. I mean, smile okay. and just keep, you know, sorry, we're going to continue to shoot baskets. It's like, well, that's terrible. That lack of, oh yeah, there's a lack of, but there's a lack of respect. And, you know, I don't want to be a psychologist. I mean, you know, maybe they weren't shown any respect themselves, and who knows what the story is. But I wonder, too, you know, if we're just outmoded in our way of teaching kids, I mean, like with spelling. Nobody cares about spelling anymore. And when you were a kid, did you have to worry about spelling? We had spelling yes. bees. You have spelling bees?
Yeah, big time.
And we had spelling bees, and you had to carry about it. I always liked it, and it was a fun thing. Nobody cares about it now. They spell check.
Yeah, autocorrect.
I mean, the autocorrect and the paper, nobody cares about that. It's just, you know, you always just look it up.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we should fanaticize the language. You know, I haven't talked about this in a while, but I had a ninth grade English teacher, Mr. Grettencourt, who thought we should fanaticize the language.
Huh.
What do you mean, Mitch? Well, I mean, laugh. Laugh should be L-A-F. He thought laugh should be L-A-F. I mean, if you're going to do phonics, by the way, phonics is not spelled the way it sounds. Ever thought about that? Phonics? Not spelled the way it sounds, right? P-H.
P-H. Like,
why not F? You know, you want to teach phonics. You want to teach whole language. You want to teach alternative language or, you know, break it down by cultural difference. Oh, no, we want to teach phonics. We don't spell phonics the way it sounds. But anyway.
Like headphones. Phones.
Phones, right. He would have thought we should fanaticize the language, period. L-A-F, laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, do. Rough. I mean, you have all these O-U-G-H words. Dough, rough. I don't know. What else we got in there? There's a certain form of clue,
get
right?
Rid of some of the obligatory
there's the
vowels.
Clue from the... And then there's plow. Plow?
Yeah.
P-L-O-U-G-H, right? So you have plow, rough,
it's one
dough.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to do it.
Sure. He has homonyms, too. So then he started...
And I had a
that.
Teacher in school talk about foreign language diction. And he said, how do you spell fish? And it was a weird... He spelled... It was a weird way, you know, because women, you know, women, O is I, it's a short I. Spell women, W-O. What? I mean, you taught the international student the rules, you know, the sounds for the vowels. These are spell women. I mean, you got to learn, you know, all these exceptions, right? I mean, English would be tough to learn. But my mother said that the foreign language students often spoke much better English than the kids from two blocks away who often didn't speak very well. You know, they had some words wrong there, you know. But the foreign exchange student from Pakistan was great.
Yeah, grammar. Yeah.
Wonderful grammar, syntax, the whole thing. But what about that? Should we just phoneticize language, LAF? Now, the problem you get into, and I've argued with people about this, because if you're phoneticizing the language, spell beautiful. Spell beautiful if you phoneticize the language. How would you do it? Because there are different theories on what it would be. Do you have an idea? Because I have my own theory.
B-U.
Oh, no. Ooh.
I say
yeah.
It's not beautiful, it's beautiful.
Right, so it's not you, it's Y. You got to have a Y in there.
Yeah,
you got B-Y.
Y,
it'd be B-Y, then U, B-U-T-I, B-U-T-F, and you could go with U-L.
Sure.
But you got to have a Y there. I mean, the U sound is not U, it's ooh. Or ah. And then you have to say long U or short U, right? Now, the problem you get into is different dialects, different parts of the country. In Boston, they would say a car. It's not a car. It's a car. It's a car.
Shack.
So you're spelling it differently because you're pronouncing it differently. How would you spell it if you're in Boston? A car.
A car.
C-A?
Yeah.
Car?
Right.
No. Where's my car? No, it's a car. No, it's a car. It just is a car. It's spelled C-A-R. It's pronounced car. No, I don't spell it that way. I spell it car. See the problem we're getting into?
Break it down in tribes.
But I do think that it's messed up. The language makes no sense, and it would be hard to teach it.
Yes.
Oh, Mitch, it's been that way forever. I know, but, you know, it's an honest debate. Laugh is L-A-F. Right? I mean, it'd be much easier, because then it would be phonics, right? How can you say we teach with phonics when phonics isn't spelled the way it sounds? How can you say you believe in phonics? It's ridiculous. Women, I mean, what other words are messed up in terms of the way they sound? I mean, there's countless words that are totally have no relationship to their sounds, their vowel structure. Down the line, right?
Why are there two A's in aardvark?
Yeah, right. You know, certain words are kind of elephant. It's kind of elephant,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You notice how in England, if they have, because a lot of it is like, and they pronounce like the schwa, A, or it was like, okay.
Anywhere with an A.
If you're going to say, what's the word? They'll say...
with an A at the end? Words with an A? Like Harrier?
Well...
Harrier rug?
They'll say angry. They won't say angry. They'll say angry. But other words, they won't say it with the short A. They'll do it with the like the schwa A.
Gotcha, yeah.
And now, if we say Duvall... But if our word is... That, like David Duvall, the golfer, it's pronounced David Duvall. We say Duvall, but they will say Duvall. The British will then say Duval instead of Duval. So they'll turn it back around the other way. Okay, if we say ghastly.
Ghastly.
The British will say ghastly, right? But they'll say Duval. They'll just go against us. It's almost like payback for the colonies, you know, the Revolutionary War.
It was probably the other way around.
And also British, right, British. There's a movement in Britain to stop the Americanization of British words. Because we say sidewalk. Do you know what sidewalk is called in Britain? Pavement.
Oh,
pavement.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's called pavement. Now, forehead, my English teacher would say, no, it should be forehead. Forehead.
Forehead.
No, it's got two. It's compounded right. No, it's and the way it's spelled, it's not forehead. It's forehead.
That's silly.
Forehead. Forehead. Well, Hoosiers, you know, my... Head. So it was head. There was kind of a lazier way, not head.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, also the word sit and sat and sit.
Lay and lie.
It's a very lazy thing in Indiana and even further south. I would sit there all day. No, you're going to sit there. I was setting down. No. So that's a common. And they used to say Wisconsin, the announcers, the Purdue announcer. Wisconsin is leading by 10. What? In fact, Bob Greasy got thousands of letters to the Rose Bowl, you know, the telecast back in the day, because he kept saying Wisconsin. Wisconsin, they do that, but it's a lazy way. And it's very true. But then again, if you do it your own way, because you're from Wisconsin, you can do that in a different way, because Wisconsin, it's pronounced Wisconsin. There's a C there. But Tommy Thompson, what would he say? Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, not a C, a G.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Yeah. I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. Well, we love Wisconsin. See, that's okay because that's our guy. That's our guy, right? So we can crucify Bob Greasy for saying Wisconsin on the telecast. But if our governor says Wisconsin, that's okay because he's our guy.
Well, sure.
We over the break. We owe a break. We'll come back. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury Cameron Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. Eric, is it true you've never taken a check from a client in 20 years?
We only get paid if we win, and 20 years of practicing law, I've never had a client to have to pay me for their time.
You don't take every case. Quality over quantity?
Some of the bigger firms that do a lot of advertising are trying to take in as many cases as they can, as fast as they can. We actually reject more cases than we accept. We're trying to take a case where we can give it the time it deserves to be properly managed and litigated to get it ready for trial. Once you get beyond that number, the quality can suffer. So we're looking to provide high-quality legal service, and it's not about the numbers. We want to do those cases that we do have right.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Let our family help your family.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, here we are in the days of Edward R. Murrow, where sponsors pull their advertising. Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox News, now of NBC News, is going to do an interview with Alex Jones, or already taped it, I guess. Alex Jones of InfoWars, an internet show. It's got millions of listeners and viewers as they do their videotape podcast. And he's in favor of a lot of conspiracy theories or believes them, and certain includes Newtown, the slaughter of the young children, reportedly. And he says that's a hoax. Now, I guess that's what spurs one of the major advertisers to pull out. J.P. Morgan has pulled out. And we'll see what else is going on here. And in fact, there's a statement from some of the parents. But so our conspiracy guy, Jim Fetzer, who we had on last week, is now on demand again. We'll do maybe a short. Are we okay to go over the break? Jim Fetzer joins me now. Hello, Jim. Jim Fetzer, are you there? Actually, Jim is probably calling in right now, so I thought we already had him. But okay, cool. And they're talking about this, and you know, will it go on? Dan Abrams, ABC's chief legal analyst, defended the Kelly interview today on Good Morning America, saying, quote, "I've interviewed murderers before, so every major network, and we don't get this kind of backlash." So there is backlash. Will they go forward with this? I'm trying to figure out when this is going to be scheduled. But Jim Fetzer is on the line now. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, Mitch. Yeah, it's supposed to be this Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Okay, this Sunday night is the telecast?
Right, and that's one reason Alex is upset is because it's Father's Day.
He feels
Kelly is smearing him because she's misrepresenting his position, which makes it extremely interesting because Kelly is implying that he denies anyone died at Sandy Hook, when actually Alex thinks the kids were killed, but that the Democrats and Hillary Clinton have simply been exploiting it for political purposes. So, in a way, Kelly is misrepresenting Alex Jones as though he were Jim Fetzer.
I see. And I know you're a conspiracy guy and believe and don't believe that it happened that way either. I understand that it's very sensitive material. You know, you and I have talked about this. There are certain things that are just beyond the pale in terms of the public's ability to digest. But certainly, I wonder why Megyn Kelly thought it would be worthy to interview him. Like 5 million listeners, right? I mean, he's a serious player in the arena of public opinion.
Well, yes, he is. That's absolutely correct, Mitch. And, of course, he's widely regarded as a conspiracy theorist, so I think he gets tagged with every view that's floating around, whether or not he deserves it. The fact is, nobody did die at Sandy Hook. The school was closed by 2008.
Okay,
He was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards, Mitch, and they had to decide whether upgrade to make it compliant.
Well, before we get into the whole thing, because again, Jim, I mean, it's like saying the world isn't round, you know, so we do these sensitive areas. I told you, we're just now as a country able to deal with JFK in terms of, but the family of Vicky Soto, a teacher killed in the attack, told Kelly in a Facebook posting that it was greatly disappointed in her decision to interview Jones, quote, "Alex and his followers have done nothing but make our lives a living hell over the last 4.5 years. So you would have to believe that they are lying about that,
well,
you know.
Well, of course they're lying. These 26 families, Mitch, were in it from the beginning. They were brought in. It was a synthetic community. They divided between $27 and $130 million. In other words, each family got over $1 million for their participation in this elaborate charade. And they don't want to be exposed. They don't want to have to give back the money. They don't want to be prosecuted for fraud.
Now, I understand you and Alex agree on this, and I'm not saying that I'm on board. All I'm saying is, Jim, that when we have these things about fake tragedies like this, and there are other tragedies you, I think, believe are fake as well. Is that correct? I mean, mass shootings and so forth.
Oh, sure. We'll take Boston.
We never see, I know, but we never see the real person again later. I mean, we never see them, like, walking to the store or, you know, getting getting into a cab. You know, we never see them again.
Well, we actually do. It's just that they're pulling this right under our nose. They created the kids at Sandy Hook out of childhood photographs of the older children, Mitch. That's how they
But where are they? Where are the? I mean, the day before they went to school, right?
No, the school was closed. It was a 2-day.
Oh, I see. So there was no school running there. So, that's quite a charade, Jim. I mean, that's like telling, all the people of the area that this school is operating when you would think the people living there would know that, right?
They were talking about it before. The lieutenant for the state police told him he'd prosecute anyone who denied the official story, Mitch. They were shut up.
But wouldn't you have, like, hundreds of people saying, no, there was no school there?
Listen, the state of Connecticut is corrupt from top to bottom, Mitch. This was being run out of the Obama White House.
Okay, but, Jim, even if this theory of yours, and Alex Jones, even if it's all true, I'm just telling you, there is an inability to psychologically accept certain things. I'm telling you right now, it's too much for people. All I'm saying is, here's a guy who believes in this one and a lot of other ones, and you've got a sponsor pulling out. Do you think NBC will stick to its guns and play the interview?
Well, they're going to get huge ratings. Yeah, I think they will. That was the whole idea behind it, was to, you know, make it a big deal between Megyn Kelly challenging Alex Jones. But Mitch, you did hear a point I made earlier.
All right.
Alex Jones believes the kids were killed at Sandy Hook.
No, you said that, yeah.
Well, he believes it. I don't. None of the kids died there. The school was closed. There were no children
there.
Have
you talked to him about your theory on this?
No, I haven't talked to Alex about it. She ought to be interviewing me, Mitch, because I can produce all the proof and demonstrate that it was an elaborate charade. It was a 2-day FEMA drill, Mitch, with a rehearsal on the 13th, going live on the 14th. We even have the FEMA manual. I published it in the book, which is available for free online. In fact, Mike Rivero just today had the book put up for free on, what really happened on his website.
Sandy Hook. Oh. It's hard for me to even opine because it's a tragic, the premise is that it was a horrible thing that 20 kids were killed and so forth, and it's just very hard for me emotionally to even, but there were some videos made because my kids saw videos made of this, and they were alleging that some of the parents were acting and all that.
Yeah.
So, you're not the only one, is my point. And the reason I have you on, in a sense, is very like that, because you're not the only one, right, Jim? I mean, there are other...
Mitch, in my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, there are 13 contributors, including 6 PhD, current or retired college professors.
So you share this view with 6 college professors.
That's right.
But
that's right.
Okay, the question again, though, is, and I'm just curious, where do these kids go? I mean, where did they go? Are they just, these were childhood photos and there was no school?
Yeah.
But that's a massive charade. And that involves the collaboration of the mayor and the school district and the school superintendent. I mean, that's a massive charade.
That's right. And the school district got $50 million to build a new school when the average cost of a kindergarten through fourth grade school is only 7. They got a huge payoff. Even the cops who were on the scene as extra split something like $2.8 million, Mitch. They were handsomely paid. This is a huge fraud. A huge fraud.
Well, I guess ultimately I guess you'd have to ask yourself, Jim, and my job is to ask questions. If something like this were actually what you're saying it is, where's the proof?
Good God, Mitch, I got a 500-page book that's available for free. The proof is there. It includes the FEMA manual. We've shown the school was closed. It was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards damaged by hurricanes. It could not have been legally operating in 2012, Mitch.
Okay, so you have put your evidence together and you make your case. I guess I want to see somebody on camera saying, "Here's Johnny. He didn't really die. This is so and so." You know,
I've done it, Mitch, in a blog. Go to Sandy Hook Charade. Noah Posner was Michael Vabner as a child. We have proven in the case of Noah Posner, who is the most famous of the Sandy Hook children, because he not only died on 14 December 2012, but again in Pakistan on 16 December 2014, and his father, Lenny Posner, sent Kelly Watt, with whom he had 100 hours of conversation, a death certificate for Noah that turned out to be a fabrication.
All right, so why doesn't Alex Jones, who's a conspiracy guy, believe you in this? Why do you guys disagree?
I don't know if he's ever even looked at my stuff, Mitch. He seems to be charting his own course, and it's ridiculous because we have the proof. We put it all together.
Well, but this story I'm reading seems to suggest that he thinks it's a hoax because Megyn Kelly said, when you say parents fake their children's death, people get very angry. And then, well, I know, but they don't get angry about the 500,000 dead Iraqis from the sanctions, or they don't get angry about Kelly interrupted and called that a dodge. So he actually, according to this, is suggesting that it was a hoax.
He was on today, Mitch. Rolf sent me a link, our dear friend Rolf Lindgren,
yes,
of Alex addressing it. He explains that she completely misrepresented the situation, that she didn't get his views straight, that he was worried they were going to try to do a hit piece on him. She told him they weren't, but they did. Alex is stating very straightforwardly he believes the children were killed at Sandy Hook, which is simply ludicrous.
Well, okay, we understand your position on this and your book, and go ahead and give the title. If people want to read it, that's fine. I mean, you know.
Well, the title's Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. It went on sale on Amazon on 22 October 2015. In less than a month, it had sold 500 copies. They took it out. They banned it on 19 November because it blows apart the whole Obama scheme.
I see. They took it out. I'm reading the story here. In a strange rant last week after the interview, which was done in his Austin studio, Jones said Kelly is, quote, not feminine, but is cold, robotic, dead. He now writes that NBC should cancel the segment because it is rigged, that misrepresents his views. They are scared of what we're doing, he said. Twice in recent months, Jones has retracted unfounded conspiracy theories. In March, he apologized to the owner of a Washington pizzeria for saying that Hillary and her former campaign manager were using it as a child sex trafficking ring. I know you're on board on that one, aren't you, Jim?
Well, Pizzagate's the biggest political scandal in our history, man.
I know you feel that way, and I just, I can't bring myself to go there. But, because again, it just sort of goes away, and we don't see anything, and, you know, I'm sure.
Well, let me tell you something real simple, Mitch. We have a photograph of the SWAT team there at the school before the shooting, the night before.
Back to Sandy Hook, okay.
Yeah, at Sandy Hook. The night before the shooting, the windows of Classroom 10, they're four in a row, are not shot out. After the event, they would be shot out. The flag is at full mast. You come down the flag, there's a familiar figure leaning against a wall with his arms folded. It's Wayne Garver, the medical examiner, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent. There is crime scene tape up for a crime that is yet to be committed. We also have photos of the windows before and after, so you can verify what I'm telling you. We have photos of the perps drilling holes in the window frame to simulate bullet holes. We have a photo of pink rods in the holes
okay,
they drilled
Jim,
to simulate.
I'm sure you have all that, and the reason I put you on is because I believe that there's always the possibility that obscure and the most minority view could be true. I mean, you could be Chicken Little in this case, but I'm just telling you, there's only so much we can emotionally handle, Jim. I mean, you can.
Mitch, these photographs were taken by the Connecticut State Police. They were recording everything they were doing. They were running the scam.
Don't you know that people don't want to know the truth if it's too painful to digest? Aren't you aware of the psychological and emotional realities of life? I mean, look at how many millions of Germans denied that. Well, of course, I don't want to go into there because you probably have your own theories there, too. I'm just saying it's very hard for people to accept something like that. I mean, you seem to ignore the emotional part of this stuff.
Well, the government lies to us all the time.
All that stuff's beside the point. There's an emotional part of this that I think is real that you should understand. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it was cleverly designed to hook the American public on their emotions to abandon their reason.
Okay, I understand, and I think you have every right to pursue any lead in every bit of evidence you can gather, and I'm all for it. So how about that, Jim?
But we're being played by the government, Mitch.
I understand. I understand. I just do the JFK and RFK ones, and I do the Seth Rich one. I'll do that one. Because nobody gets shot in the back, and they don't take his wallet unless something's fishy.
Yeah.
But I only do like two or three. You do a lot, is my point.
Yeah. We even have a video of one of the decedents attending his own funeral, Mitch.
You have a video of one of the dead attending his own funeral.
Because he's actually 10 years older. His name is Tom Scattioli, okay?
Yeah.
And look, this guy, Michael Vabner, was supposed to be the older stepbrother of Noah Posner, but Noah Posner was made up of childhood photographs of Michael Vabner. We have proof in it. Go to
Sandy Hook Charade, okay. Well, Jim,
Noah Posner was Michael Vabner as a child.
Okay, I understand. And what is it again? Sandy Hook...
Charade. Sandy Hook Charade.
.com.
Sandy Hook Charade. Noah Posner was.
This is too much. I mean, what's the address?
Well, you can get it from Sandy Hook Charade at jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. Yeah, that'll get you there.
Yeah, okay. Well, Sandy Jim, I appreciate it. I just had you on because you are also a conspiracy guy. And of course, this guy is too on other things, although he apparently believes these kids were killed. And it's a very sensitive thing, and I'll probably get hate mail for even talking about this. I'm telling you, there is, but I know you don't stay clear.
I subscribe to the truth.
Very controversial things.
We don't know the truth, Mitch. We're being manipulated, and we're being manipulated here just as we were over JFK.
I was manipulated during the courtship, which led to my marriage, which led to $250,000 being lost, so I understand. No, I'm kidding. I'm just a joke, Jim.
I'm with you, my friend. I'm with you.
That was a terrible... It's a joke. I'm kidding. That sounded so misogynist. Right. Anyway, Jim, that's fine. I appreciate the time. We'll look forward to it,
Mitch.
Sunday night with Alex Jones and Megyn Kelly.
They're going to run it. Man.
Okay, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Take care. Well, he doesn't understand the sensitivity. Am I right about this? I mean, certain things are just too painful to talk about, right?
Yeah.
He has to understand there's an emotional and there's a psychological dimension to this stuff.
I guess if there were no kids, then
there are children involved here.
But if there were no kids, then there's no parents to be sad.
Well, again, it's just too much for me to process, right? I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to join all the conspiracy people and go for it and, write the book and put together all the stuff. That's not the point, and I'm all for that. But I think he and his friends have to understand that for a lot of us, it's just too tough to contemplate, too tough to talk about. Now, if it comes out to be proven years later that the whole thing was a hoax, then we say, oh my God. But, I've seen the conspiracy theories on the moon thing. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
The moon landing. There are those who say that was a fake. I remember watching that with my parents. I was like 8 years old. They had it on black and white TV. I didn't want to know it was a fake. And of course, I did see the documentary on this. And the guy went up and told Buzz Aldrin, who's the second guy to walk on the moon, you should be ashamed. You should be.
Yeah.
And Buzz Aldrin just punched him right in the face. Imagine that. If you actually did walk on the moon, you're Buzz Aldrin, and some guy just spends 30 years of his life saying it was a fake. Don't get mad at me. I just, this is a news story. Alex Jones is the big guy, and he's a conspiracy guy. He's going to be on Megyn Kelly on Sunday night. Of course, I talked to Jim, and Jim... Jim's got the books out there, man. He's gathering all the stuff. He's got all the. But what's fascinating is he rattles this stuff off. I've tried to limit it to more conventional issues when I talk to him, so I apologize if I offended you, and that's part of free speech. We occasionally delve into these weird areas, right. But I understand the psychological and emotional constraints that we have, and I have myself. In the spotlight, I see all these arguments about LeBron James and the boys. My son is his friends. They all love LeBron, and I like LeBron, too. They're comparing him with Michael Jordan and Kevin Durant and who's the best player. And I'm just wondering, I notice there's a big disconnect between, I guess, younger men and, you know, the rest of the population. I love the NBA Finals. You saw the sellout in Oakland, and their ratings are good. But there's a whole different part of the country that doesn't look at the NBA Finals. I do, but I never saw one of the hockey games. And I know there are hockey people out there that watched every hockey game. I didn't grow up with hockey. I mean, we'll come back in a moment on this on the Mitch Hanks Show on MedicineTalks.com. AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the Major League record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to MadisonComedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right. We just had the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals. I'm going to kind of analyze the most popular sports in America. There are different polls here, but the NFL is number one. Mike Brockenfeller, engineer, you're seeing one from what, 2016?
Yeah, I was looking for the updated year.
Uh-huh. And NFL is like number one by
Wikipedia
far.
Says, yeah, football is 38% of and Americans' favorite sport.
What's two?
Basketball.
NBA?
That surprised me, yep.
It's just NBA or does it just say basketball?
It just says basketball. So that could be college. And
Well, it's not. Yeah, I mean, college. There are different polls here. I'm going to 2015. There's no question that...
these are just professional leagues.
Football is number one. These are just... It's pros. Okay, yeah. So NBA. I'm now going through the bottom to the top. The richest, the most popular sports in America. That is the name of the website. Men's college basketball was eighth. Now, seventh, men's soccer. Sixth, ice hockey. Men's pro basketball. I just lost my place. There's some ad popped up. Anyway, now I go back down the list again. Ice hockey. Now we're at men's pro basketball, fifth. Auto racing, fourth. College football, third. This is 2014, so it's a little bit old. I think it holds true. College football was third. Baseball was second. And then, of course, we had pro football, number one. In 2014, 32%. You had 38, right?
Yes.
Baseball, 16%. 16% was a distant second. A distant second. College football was third in 2014. Auto racing, fourth. Men's pro basketball was fifth. I think men's pro basketball has a nice following. It's a very successful franchise in urban centers. I think the games sell out. Who's on the line?
George.
Oh, George is here. Urban centers and, Chicago and, Knicks and all these places, L.A. I mean, it's hard to get a ticket. You've got to pay a lot of money for it. So it's kind of a urban yuppie, kind of a big financial thing and doing very well. The ratings are very... Yeah. In fact, the ratings for this year's NBA Finals were the best since Michael Jordan's final year in 1998. So the best in 19 years. We had LeBron James, you had Stephen Curry, and Kevin Durant, and all these big names. I think, frankly, of course I like basketball, but I think it's much better than it was 20 years ago. And I think people have these attitudes about it based on 20, 30 years ago. And I think it's a much better game now, much better passing, better ball movement, better defense. All that's much better. But I think a lot of people in suburban white America have not watched a game in 30 years or 20 years. And what they saw 20 years ago or 30 years ago, they didn't like. And so they have that image of that game still in their minds. George, that's my belief. When's the last time you watched a game? George?
George? Yes. Hello?
We've got you, but you called to diss the NBA, well, did you?
Yeah, Mike said I could do a second call.
You today, can. So. When's the last time you watched an NBA game, George?
Probably Michael Jordan.
So it was 20 years ago, right?
Well, I just don't think. My rank
20 years ago.
College, huh?
20 years ago you watched a game.
No, I watched a little bit of one this last time week, but it's just they're just like pro wrestling sort of.
Oh, that's just not credible. That's not acceptable. I'm sorry. It's not.
Are you going to cut me off?
It's not acceptable. It's not true. The ball movement is so good. The defense is much better. It's a much better game.
You want my rankings? You were doing rankings.
Yeah, give me your rankings.
College football number one
for you. Yeah.
College basketball number two.
Yeah.
College wrestling, real wrestling, number three.
Right.
Then I would say lacrosse and rugby. I watch the Badger. They have club teams of each of them, and I go down to the campus and watch those. They're superb. They don't.
I'm glad you do, but there are about 14 of you in the world that watch that stuff.
What's that?
And there are 14 people that watch
lacrosse
and rugby. In America.
I am taking some clients to the Brewers game in 2 weeks. They're all excited. I can't stand to watch them. But
baseball, you know what stat really threw me? In 1985, they compared the Kansas City Royals went to the World Series, I guess, in 2015 against the Mets,
yes.
And they hadn't been there since 85, so 30 years. In 85, when the Royals were in the World Series, 32 million people watched on television. And in 2015, 12 million watched. So 20 million fewer viewers. Because now we have more cable, we have, you know, more distractions, more...
Well, it's in History Channel. I watch History Channel or Cooking Channel.
Well, but the point of it is, the kids are on their phone or whatever the case, but, you know, in 85, I mean, the World Series is on, people watch the World Series. But in 2015, they don't. Unless you're a baseball fan or unless you're a fan of the Mets or the Royals that year, you didn't care.
Catch the highlights.
Right, yeah. Catch the highlights or... I mean, that's what's
Our
changed.
Our kids are in bad shape. Our kids are in sad shape, Mitch.
Well, I've seen the both of us in close proximity, and I wouldn't exactly say we're ready for the decathlon, George.
Well, I'm not talking about our weight.
Physical shape.
Mature.
Spiritual, emotional.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good segment today when you had...
I think it was, too. Thank you, George. But I'll tell you what, I think the segment on the sports is always good, too. Thank you very much, and keep up the good work. We thank Bob Keller for the spacer on West Washington Avenue. Check out Keller Properties, Tuscan Place, Washington Court. Check the bedroom, the 1, 2, 3 bedrooms, the studios, all that stuff. West Side Senior Homes, Whitcomb Square. Go to kellerapartments.com. That's kellerapartments.com. We thank Mike Brockenfeld, our engineer. We're back live again Thursday into this interim period. We'll be coming out with a bang here shortly. We'll tell you all about it. Bob Bella with the wide world of radio, about classic radio in the 30s and 40s. Great stuff, all the major stars of the day. That is coming up here on MadisonTalks.com.